In his new book, The Well-Tempered City, Jonathan Rose says we can look to ancient civilizations, modern science and human nature to inform us on how to make better cities for the future. He'll be speaking tonight at the Tattered Cover in Denver in Lodo at 7 o'clock. And he joins us now in our Denver studio. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Maeve.
You say in your book that to take a look at where it all went wrong, look to 1950s architecture, because you've described that in very different ways, but one of them being a bit of a disaster, and that many of the worst architectural parts of cities are often dating back to the 1950s. What happened then?
So what happened in the 50s was there was a very rigid sense of what modernism was. There was an architectural style that came along with a very severe architectural theory. And that was actually counter to the much more organic ways that cities work. Cities actually function like natural organisms in a way. They grow, they thrive, they shrink, they evolve, because they're made by human beings and human nature. So if you think about the public housing, which we see around the country, where you have what are called towers in the park, big, tall buildings that are set around with a lot of landscape that isolate people, that was part of that whole architectural style of the theory of the 50s. What we now know is that what really helps communities thrive is connectivity, something fantastic, by the way, that's been being done in the whole Denver and Boulder metro region by using mass transit, etc. So instead of trapping people within these towers in the park, we're really rebuilding and allowing them to spread and connect to the larger city.
Well, you do write about the importance of green spaces for livable cities. And you looked at this very specifically in Denver back in 1990, because that's when you first started working here. And you collaborated with the city to save and renovate the historic Denver Dry Goods Building. Tell us what you did with that.
So the in the late 80s, cities were emptying out. There was all the retail was moving to the suburbs. People were moving to the suburbs. And downtown Denver was literally dead. After 5 o'clock, people went home and the streets were just empty. And there had not been any new housing built there in 20 years. There's a beautiful old department store, full city block in downtown Denver, called the Denver Dry Goods Building. It was a very historic icon. And the May Company, a national company that owned it, had bought it to buy the Denver Dry Company, move its stores to the suburbs, and close the building down. The city, under Federico Pena as mayor, bought the building to preserve it, because what was happening in those days when people tore the buildings down, when they bought the buildings, they'd tear them down so they wouldn't have to pay real estate taxes. And that's why Denver still in its downtown has those huge parking lots. Those all had been beautiful historic buildings. So the Denver Urban Renewal Authority bought the building to preserve it. It went through four developers who were unable to figure out how to preserve it. And I came to them in 1990 and said, let's model the future of the city that we imagine in this building. So instead of turning it into one idea or another idea, there was all these ideas. I said, well, the future of the city should have great thriving retail on the lower floors. It should have offices. It should have affordable housing. Back then, housing was so affordable in Denver because nobody wanted to live here that people thought I was nuts. And it should have market rate housing. It should be done in a historic preservation, and it should be a green building, and it should be next to transit. The RTD transit line was just going in. And anyway, this became the first model in the nation of what historic preservation, green historic preservation could be, that modeled mixed incomes and mixed uses. It was incredibly successful. And DURA, the Denver Urban Renewal Authority, then made the way we financed it. The whole trick was how we financed it public. And within 3 years, 22 other buildings in downtown, historic, empty buildings, were renovated in the same model. And that really began the resurgence of downtown Denver.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned affordability, because that, of course, is the buzzword, not just for Denver, but for Boulder and really the entire Front Range and many, many other cities around the country. When you make cities more livable and more beautiful, more people want to live there. And of course, that then often drives up costs. So how can affordability really be part of this when we are looking to have more livable, more beautiful cities?
So I'm so glad you raised it, because affordability is essential. And just to back up, there are many, many kinds of people who need affordable housing. So they are young people getting out of high school or college, entering the workforce. They are low-income seniors living on Social Security. They also can be homeless. There can be single working mothers. There's a very, very wide range. And so the first thing is, all affordable housing has to be subsidized in one way or another. Whenever there's a really strong, thriving market, which is a great thing, by the way, it's much better to have a good economy than a bad one, but then there's going to be an affordable crisis. So communities have to get together, recognize the crisis, be willing to fund it, to fund the subsidies needed. And then the second thing they have to do is work on, as best they can, inclusionary zoning programs, which require, as market rate development is built, that there's an affordable piece within it. The solutions are complicated, but they're worth doing. And both cities are actually actively engaged right now in trying to create affordable plans. Denver has one, as we heard earlier, that's going to city council tonight, and I certainly hope it passes.
Well, since you first started working in the city in 1990, how do you think things have changed or evolved, or what are the major problems in terms of development and that crucial part of affordability in Denver since you first started working here back in 1990?
So the first issue in 1990 was just bringing people back to the city downtown. Literally, the retailers refused to come downtown. People didn't want to live downtown. That's all changed. There's been amazing development, and Denver and Boulder are some of the brightest spots in the national economy and some of the best places to live for all the reasons I don't need to go into. You know, access to the wilderness, arts, culture, hip people, great restaurants. It's all here. And mass transit, walkability, livability. Yeah, these two cities really star number one. The issue is, number one, in affordability, we have to find inexpensive land. And there's a housing trust, a land trust in Denver that's been working on preserving land in the path of development of the light rail system. I deeply believe that 20 to 30% of all housing and walking distance to the new light rail system, every station needs to be affordable, because in addition to the cost of housing, there's a cost of transportation. There just aren't enough federal and state resources, and so the fact that the city council is now considering adding its own resources to fill the gaps and allow more affordable housing to be created is really a wonderful thing.
Jonathan Rose will speak about his new book, The Well-Tempered City, at The Tattered Cover in Denver's Lodo at 7 p.m. this evening. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.